What a joy it is to be here again this morning. You know, the whole month of January, the Lord impressed on me His peace in the storms of life. And as we began February, it became a greater understanding of His great mercy and grace. Now I find, as we're well into the month of March, there is great joy and hope in my heart for what is to come. But what does this have to do with you today? Well, we have Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries visiting with us, and we're going to talk about comforting one another. And how does that happen? It's by celebrating and living in God's provision of peace, joy, and hope, and especially as we recognize that we are God's end time church. Now, that might scare a few people to realize that we are God's church, let alone His end time church. Now, the book of Revelation is a marvelous book, one that not only warns us of what is to come, but is also God's invitation to join Him in His kingdom. Let's read Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 to 21. I'm going to read verses 12 to 17 first. Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside, there are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. And it closes with verses 20 to 21. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, John. And this is my source of peace, joy, and hope, folks. Well, let me introduce you to Dr. John Swanson. He is the Executive Director of Endurance Ministries, a ministry which addresses current cultural affairs in light of the eschatological, that's the end time data in God's Word. And he's dedicated his life to working with college campus youth, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to them along with sound biblical teaching. Welcome back to the program, John.
Thanks, Leslie.
A little tongue-tied here today, I think. When you were last here, we talked about living in the end times as end-time saints. And I was honest with you when I shared that, as scary as this may seem to our listening audience, I also wanted them to understand and grasp that we are not out here on our own, and that there is peace, joy, and hope. So why don't we briefly refresh our listening audience with what you called the first wave and second wave?
Okay, the concerns of the first wave of end time things are, according to the Bible, number one, birth pains as described in Matthew 24, verses 4 through 8. The first wave includes, number two, the list of cultural attitudes that are mentioned in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. And then number three, a part of the first wave, also comprises the first seal of Revelation 6, global conquering. And we believe these things have already begun, Leslie. The concerns of the second wave are these. Number one, unrest as outlined in the second seal of Revelation 6. And number two, famine and death, which are addressed in seals 3 and 4, and the tribulation of Mark 13. It kind of hits home because this is heavy stuff. It looks pretty grim, doesn't it, Leslie?
Yeah, it certainly does, John. It does seem pretty grim, and I know it would scare a lot of people, and rightfully so. Yeah. However, John, mm-hmm. We have hope in what is to come, don't we?
We do, yeah.
So just as Jesus knew His death and resurrection would bring about good, we believe that God has a plan for us. And I kind of think of it as Jeremiah 29, you know, where it says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper and not to harm you. That passage to me gives me great hope. And it says at the end, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So that's what I'm going to do. But I know it's not going to be easy, is it?
No, it's not. In fact, we, through many tribulations, must enter the kingdom of God, kind of similar to the early church as mentioned in Acts 14:22. And yet in all this darkness, yes, our Lord has counseled us to keep perspective in Him through it all. So for today's broadcast, we'd like to highlight some of the things we find in God's Word, which allow us one of His means to get through this most challenging time in human history. These divine provisions include the means of His perspective attitudes of peace, joy, and hope. Well, as you know well, dear sister in Christ and believing audience, God is true to His Word.
Amen.
So these end time things will indeed, no doubt, unfold. When they do, will we, His church, respond wisely and say something to the effect of, well, quote, there you have it, God's Word is true and trustworthy. These things are coming to pass just as He said they would, unquote. Well, and will we press on in wise, faithful perspective and go on to say, well, as God was true in His predictions to end time things that we've recently experienced and the things that we're presently experiencing, we also need to believe Him and His Word about upcoming end time events.
Okay, so I'm not sure I'm understanding fully or following your distinction here, John. Could you further elaborate to help us?
Well, thank you for asking because, yeah, I'd appreciate that clarification years ago because it took me about decades to discern this more complete picture of crucial end-time life in Christ practice during these days because they don't just happen and then are done. There's a period of time.
You know, I just have to say, I'm relieved. I thought maybe I was in over my head. But if you say it's taken you decades to discern this more completely, then I don't feel so bad. But I do want to learn, so please go on helping all of us have this discernment that we need.
Well, you know, looking to the proper source, our Lord Jesus, I can still say, I'm not even now in the complete know. In fact, I believe it will be our going through these things that will actually bring us even closer to a more complete understanding of what all this entails. So let me put it this way. I'm simply emphasizing past end time events, present end time events that are unfolding today, and future aspects of Bible prophecy. So here's the main point in all of this. As our great God is true to His Word and has demonstrated that reality to many of us personally throughout our lives, so too is He faithful to His Word concerning things which will shortly unfold. But it doesn't stop there, Leslie.
Oh, boy.
No, we are to follow His counsel as to how we should live through these yet future times. So you see, He, in His kind mercy and grace, has given us important counsel as to what's going to be happening shortly. But He's also counseled us as to how to thrive during these difficult days.
So now I know why the Lord has impressed on me this past month, grace and mercy, for this program.
Yes.
There you go.
His timing is sweet.
It is. Okay, go on.
Well, for example, as far as looking to His Word, let's use the 2 Timothy 3 passage, the apostasy stuff that's listed there, and His further counsel as to how to live during these days. So we have all these qualities of end times which are being realized today more than ever before, ending with, well, some of these people have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. But then it doesn't stop there. Verse 5b goes on to say, we'll separate from them. So here's what I'm saying. God wants us to separate from the ungodliness. And please understand, our Lord wants us to be His lights during this time, but in such a way that does not conform to this dark world. And we believe this is biblical balance. So that's why His counsel concerning preparedness, for example, needs to be obeyed by His people. So we're prepared with oil in our lamps. You know that one.
Right? Oh, yes.
Well, to meet these most difficult challenges, which will unfold this next decade. And so here's our pertinent appeal. We must prepare for these days today. This includes being prepared materially, as the Matthew 25 text of the 10 virgins emphasizes. Again, oil in our lamp. But it also means being prepared mentally and spiritually, too. So, okay, We've already touched upon material preparedness in past programs. Today's broadcast seeks to emphasize the victorious God-given perspective, a mindset, if you will, which he wants us to have through the troublesome times.
Well, you know, John, as I've shared with you before, when I was younger, I was terrified to read the book of Revelation, as I didn't want to know what was going to happen. But then there was a desire to have the peace of our Lord that's beyond all understanding invade my life. And with that came the desire to help brothers and sisters in Christ to have this same peace. And I knew I had to read the book. But more than that, John, I've come to experience throughout my life that God loves me so much. I just almost have to laugh. He loves me so much that he won't leave me or us or forsake us in the end. Yes. His master plan has been in place since the very beginning, when he created this place that we call home, this place called Earth, and he created us, John, us in his image. And we have to remember those things that he has done and hold on to his word to get us individually and the church through this storm.
Yes, Leslie. That's actually what we're after in this program. We need to bathe in his, let me call it, perspectival provisions.
I love that word.
These mindsets. So we don't suffer shipwreck. So we're not among the many who fall away from the faith during this time, which God says will take place. We need to be heavenly in our mindset so we can continue sharing the light, the life, and the love of Jesus Christ with many whose lives still need the Savior. So here's the coming perfect storm.
And I have my sou'wester on, so folks, if you don't know what that is, that's a coat that the seafarers wear, you know, in a storm to keep themselves dry. But mine is the Word of God, so go ahead.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, I want to say that I really appreciated your blog on the growing perfect storm, and I would like to encourage others to be edified in giving it a read-over, okay, if you don't mind. Folks, you can find that at www.currentmatters.org and on the bottom of the Archive 2014 page. And it's the year-end blog, if I'm not mistaken, for those of you who'd like to read it.
Yeah, it's been helpful to some. And we'd also like to encourage the listening audience to read over some of the other blogs that are posted on this same site, currentmatters.org, because they all seek to further help the church prepare, as our Lord Jesus has asked us to do. Okay, so here's the context which raises the need for a peaceful, joyful, hopeful perspective during these dark days, through these dark days. Difficult days are escalating, and these are actual fulfillments of Bible prophecy.
You know, I hate to keep interrupting you, John. I'm a terrible host today.
No, you're a beautiful host.
But I just need to say this. The present unfolding of Bible prophecy is a factual testimony concerning the reliability of our awesome, awesome God's accurate word. So don't believe me, folks. Turn to the Word of God for truth.
And that's why we plead with all of us to go to his word for insight second to none. So amen. Our God is totally trustworthy. So folks, read over for yourselves the passages from which we've highlighted our current cultural experiences in the introduction to this program. And get on our three websites, which actually quote and list many of the main end time passages, whereby you can see for yourselves just how amazing God's word is concerning the accurate predicting of future factual things, Leslie?
Yep.
We're not talking about opinion stuff.
Nope.
Okay. So, and you know, I just said amazing as to God's word. That's an inadequate description of the Bible's prophetic accuracy concerning the unfolding of the end of days. So once again, as always, God's word is right on concerning future predictions. Okay, so in this dark end time setting, so that's where I was before you rudely interrupted.
I know, but we're friends.
Yeah, amen. Well, in this end time dark setting, God provides us a perspective similar to what the Chinese church members, for example, in both past decades and just recently have experienced as they've journeyed through their ordeals of persecution from godless authorities. So Leslie, yes, let's touch upon only three mental provisions. There are many, but three mental provisions of which God graciously grants us to endure these things as we abide in him.
you know, let's begin with peace, which actually happens to be one of the fruits of the Spirit, which is pretty cool. Yeah. So Philippians 4:8 reads, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." But just before that, John, it reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious of nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus."
And friends, when we talk about the peace of God, we're talking about peace beyond human peace. Some can't even begin to fathom this because they've not experienced the peace of God. Human peace, perhaps, but this is radically different than the peace of God. Okay, peace of God, that's precious during difficult times. Another huge, blessed perspective that we're to live in is that of joy. There are many passages which highlight this crucial attitude. So let me refer people to look over Nehemiah chapter 8, where it talks about a difficult setting. And they rediscover the Word of God. And it's read, and the people weep, the Scripture says, in verse 9 of Nehemiah chapter 8. And yet, this is what they go on to say. This is what the prophet goes on to say. "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions of these for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The ministry that comes through the joy of the Lord is so cool, so precious.
You know, I love the book of Nehemiah, and the Word of God always does bring me great joy. But my, how we need these two attitudes of peace and joy through the upcoming dark days. Mm-hmm. Yet, John, there's one more we should touch upon before concluding our program today, and it's the attitude of hope.
Let's do it.
So let me use the book of Romans for this specific mindset quality. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to read three passages, if you don't mind. The first one is Romans 4:18, and it's about the faith we are to have like our father Abraham. And it says, "Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be." Mm. Now the second is Romans 5:1-5, and in my New King James Bible, it's titled, "Faith Triumphs in Trouble." How appropriate. Mm-hmm. So it says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into his grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given to us."
Beautiful.
Okay, now the third is Romans 8:18-25. And once again, it speaks to the suffering glory. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." I love it.
Awesome. Yeah. And these three passages from Romans not just stop at hope. They go on to talk about the peace and the joy and all these beautiful things. So it's interesting how these very passages that we've touched upon not just address, don't only address one, topic of mindset, but many.
Many.
In the hope, we have peace, we have joy, etc. So continue reading for yourselves, family in Christ, this precious word that edifies. Well, earlier, Leslie, in the program, we made reference to God-given perspectives, which we need in order to walk through these ugly days that will be unfolding soon. And the past couple minutes, we've been emphasizing three positive perspectives: joy, peace, and hope, things which we're graced with, whereby we're better equipped for these times of trouble. But Leslie, this assumes something, doesn't it?
It does.
It assumes that all of our listeners have already been born anew in Christ Jesus, and I would venture to guess that that's not the case. Because these things are not available to those who say no to Christ and His glorious provisions, our listening audience needs to know they must be in Christ in order to enjoy these God-given provisions. So all that to say this, Leslie, the good news of Jesus Christ needs to be accepted personally by each and every one of us in order for one to be a recipient of these end-time provisions, as they're only given to those in Him. So by way of one example, one cannot know in fullness the peace of God without peace with God through Jesus Christ. So, in other words, one must first be in Christ. There's where we have the peace with God before we can enjoy the peace of God.
And I think that this is crucial for all of us to be reminded of, that the promises of God are for those who have declared that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I know many might be questioning if they are truly in Him. It's very simple. It's the acknowledgement that you've sinned against God and your fellow man, and you wish to be forgiven for your past, that God, your Creator, sent His Son, Jesus Christ, not to judge this world, but to save this world, so that you can have a relationship with our Heavenly Father, that through Christ's death and resurrection, He's taken on all your sins, and they are washed away and forgotten as far as the east is from the west, making you a child of God. So if you confess your sins and profess Jesus Christ as Lord, you have the promises of peace, joy, and hope that we have talked about today.
Yes, please don't wait for another day. Do so now. Say yes to the Savior. Well, and those of us who are already in Christ, we repeat what the Word says to us. We are called to remain, abide, walk in Him. And we do so by regular intake of His powerful, life-changing Word. We do so through regular fellowship in a Bible-believing church. We do so by devotional time and prayer with our Lord Jesus as we walk in His precious Spirit. Some of the Christians aren't doing some of these things, but these are essential things. So let's close with this. Listening audience, we really wish to be of further help to you. Sincerely, we do. Please visit our websites for crucial, edifying counsel from His Word, counsel specifically relating to living in our days before our Savior's initial appearing. Visit EnduranceMinistries.org and endmin.com for Christ-honoring, Bible-affirming help.
And you can visit our website, HeartOfTheSaviorMinistries.org, and listen in to past broadcasts with John. Just click on that broadcast tab. Once again, John, I can't thank you enough for coming in and sharing, and I've asked that Dr. Swanson come back and join us on Saturday, April 9th, to continue our discussion on how we can all live with this peace, joy, and hope in the end times as living saints. John, I know you travel a long way to get here. Your lovely wife is here with you. It's a joy to see you, Miss Nancy. You have one last quick word for everybody?
God is faithful to His Word. Again, so rely on that, but not just take it in, then act upon it, for we are to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. And He gives us the means, the resources to be obedient to His Word. It's not this difficult thing. It's sweet.
That's it. I tell you, it's the truth. So we hope you go away refreshed, restored, and renewed in who you are in Christ Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you will make God's Word the every breath that you take this week. So as always, in His service, this is Reverend Leslie Nelson and my guest and friend, Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries. Thanks, John.